Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Yamaraj is not a fictitious or mythological character. He has his own abode, Pitri Loka, of which he is king. Agnostics may not believe in hell, but Shukadeva Goswami affirms the existence of the Naraka planets, which lie between the Garbhodaka ocean and Patala Loka. Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that human beings do not violate his rules and regulations. Karma nahi api bodhavyang, bodhavyang cha vikarmanaha, akarmanas cha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. As confirmed by Krishna in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should properly know what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. Therefore, one should understand the nature of karma, vikarma, and akarma, and one must act accordingly. This is the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for sense gratification are allowed to enjoy their senses only under certain regulative principles. And if they violate these regulations, then they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them in order to bring them back to Krishna consciousness. But by the influence of Maya, however, the conditioned souls remain infatuated with the mode of ignorance. Thus, in spite of repeated punishment by Yamaraj, they do not come to their senses. Instead, they continue to live within the material condition, committing sinful activities again and again. As it is said by Krishna in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyatma buddhi kunate tri dhatuke swadhi kalatradishu bauma ijadi yattirtha buddhi salile na karhichij janeshu abhigishu saiva gokara. One who accepts this bodily bag of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, as oneself, or who has an affinity for an intimate relationship with wife and children, or who considers the land of his birth as worshipable, or who takes bath in the waters of the holy places of pilgrimage, but never takes advantage of those persons who are in actual knowledge, such a person is no better than the ass or cow. As such, there are two classes of men absorbed in the material bodily concept of life. Out of ignorance, a man in the first class thinks the body to be the self, and therefore is certainly like an animal, saeva gokara. The person in the second class, however, not only thinks the material body to be the self, but also commits all kinds of sinful activities to maintain that body. Such a person cheats everyone just to acquire money for one's family and one's own self, and one becomes envious of others without reason. Such a person is thrown into the hell known as Raurava. So if one simply considers the body to be the self, as do the animals, one is not very sinful. However, if one needlessly commits sins to maintain the body, then one is put into the hell known as Raurava. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Although animals are certainly in the bodily concept of life, they do not commit any sin to maintain the body, their mates or offspring. Therefore, animals do not go to hell. However, when the human being acts enviously and cheats others to maintain one's body, one is put into a hellish condition. According to the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, namely Sridhar Swami, the Ruru is also known as the Bara Shringa. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this in his book, The Sandarbha. Thus, although Rurus are not seen in this world, their existence is confirmed in the Shastras. The animalistic person who simply lives in the bodily concept of life is not excused, so he is put into the hell known as Maharaurava and is attacked by Ruru animals known as Kravyadas. Lord Chaitanya informed Sanatan Goswami that Krishna saved him from Maharaurava, life's deepest hell. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan that Krishna is an ocean of mercy, and Krishna's activities are very grave. Actually, there is only one religious principle, dharmang tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The only religious principle is to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, especially in this age of Kali, everyone is an atheist. People do not even believe in God, what to speak of following his words. In this chapter, we find the phrase Nija Veda Patha, which can also mean one's own set of religious principles. Formerly, there was only one Veda Patha, or set of religious principles. Now, there are many. It doesn't matter, however, which set of religious principles one follows. The only injunction is that one must follow them strictly. The atheist or Gnostic is one who does not believe in the Vedas. However, even if one takes up a different system of religion, according to this chapter, one must follow the religious principles one has accepted. So whether one is Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, whatever, one should follow one's own religious principles. However, if one concocts one's own religious path within one's mind, or if one follows no religious principles at all, one is punished in the hell known as Asipatravana. In other words, a human being must follow some kind of religious principles. If one does not follow any religious principles, then one is no better than an animal. As Kali Yuga advances, people are becoming godless and taking up so-called secularism. They do not know that punishment is awaiting them in Asipatravana, as described in this chapter. From this very instructive section, we learn that lower animals, created by the laws of nature to disturb the human being, are not subjected to punishment. But because the human being has developed consciousness, however, the human being cannot do anything against the principles of Varna Ashrama Dharma without being condemned. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, Krishna states, Chatur Varnyang Maya Shishtang, guna-karma vibhagashah, according to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Thus, all men should be divided into four classes: Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and they should act according to their ordained regulations. They cannot deviate from their prescribed rules and regulations. And one of these states that they should never trouble any animal, even those who disturb human beings. Although a tiger is not sinful, if the tiger attacks another animal and eats its flesh, if a man with developed consciousness does so, the man must be punished. So in other words, a human being who does not use one's developed consciousness, but instead continues to act like an animal, such a person surely undergoes punishment in many different hells. Yagya Shishtashana Santo Muchyante Sarva Kilbishai Bunjite Te Tu Agam Papa Ye Pachanti Atma Karanat. According to Krishna, in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is first offered for sacrifice. Others prepare food for personal sense enjoyment, and therefore, verily, they eat only sin. Eko bahunam yo vididhati kaman. All food is given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna supplies everyone with the necessities of life. Therefore, we should acknowledge Krishna's mercy by performing yajna, sacrifice. That is the duty of everyone. Indeed, the sole purpose of life is to perform yajna, according to Krishna, again in chapter 3. Yajyarthat karmanah anyatra lokah ayam karma bandhanah tat artham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. If we do not perform yajna or sacrifice and distribute prasad to others, our lives are condemned. Only after performing yajna and distributing prasad to all of our dependents, the children, brahmanas, and old men, then one should eat. However, one who cooks only for oneself or for one's family is condemned, along with everyone he feeds. After death, such a person is put into the hell known as Krimi Bhojan. Generally, a man should not have sexual relations with any woman other than one's wife. According to Vedic principles, the wife of another man is considered one's mother, and sexual relations are strictly forbidden with one's mother, sister, and daughter. If one indulges in illicit sexual relations with another man's wife, that activity is considered identical with having sex with one's mother. This act is most sinful. The same principle holds true for a woman also. If she enjoys sex with a man other than her husband, that act is tantamount to having sexual relations with her father or son. illicit sex life is always forbidden, and any man or woman who indulges in it is punished in the manner described in this chapter. The sexual urge is so strong that sometimes a man indulges in sexual relations with a cow, or a woman indulges in sexual relations with a dog. Such men and women are put into the hell known as Vajra Kantaka Shalmali. The Krishna consciousness movement forbids illicit sex, and from the description of these verses, we can understand what an extremely sinful act illicit sex is. Sometimes people disbelieve these descriptions of hell, but whether one believes or not, everything must be carried out by the laws of nature, which no one can avoid. The great Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, has sung that persons following the paths of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, or fruitive activities and speculative thinking, are missing the opportunities for human birth, and instead are gliding down into the cycle of birth and death. Thus, there is always the chance that one may be put into the Puyoda Naraka, the hell named Puyoda, where one is forced to eat stool, urine, pus, mucus, saliva, and other abominable things. It is significant that this section is spoken especially about Shudras. If one is born Shudra, one must continually return to the ocean of Puyoda in order to eat horrible things. Thus, even a born Shudra is expected to become a Brahmana. That is the meaning of human life. Everyone should try to improve him or herself. In the fourth chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me, Krishna. So, even if one is by qualification a Shudra, still one must try to improve one's position and try to become a Brahmana. And no one should ever try to check such a person, no matter what one's present position is, from coming to the platform of a Brahmana or Vaishnava. Actually, one must come to the platform of a Vaishnava. Then, automatically, one becomes a Brahmana. And this can be done only if the Krishna consciousness movement is spread, for we are trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Vaishnava. Just as Krishna says in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Abandon all other duties and simply surrender unto me, Krishna. So, one must give up those occupational duties of a Shudra, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, and adopt the occupational duties of a Vaishnava, which automatically include the activities of a Brahmana. Krishna explains all of this in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when he says to Arjuna, Mang hi partha viapasritya, yepi su papa yonayaha, striyo vaishyas tatha shudras, tepi yanti param gitim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, although they might be of lower birth, such as women, merchants, and workers, can all approach the supreme destination. Therefore, human life is specifically meant for going back home, back to Godhead, and that facility should be given to everyone, whether one be a Shudra, a Vaishya, a woman, or a Kshatriya. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. However, if one is satisfied to remain Shudra, then one must suffer as described in this chapter. In the Western countries especially, aristocrats keep dogs and horses to hunt animals in the forest. Whether in the West or the East, aristocratic men in Kali Yuga adopt the fashion of going to the forest and unnecessarily killing animals. But men of the higher classes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, should cultivate knowledge of Brahman, and they should also give the Shudras a chance to come to that platform. But if instead they indulge in hunting, then they will be punished as described in this chapter. Not only will they be pierced with arrows by the agents of Yamaraj, but they will also be put into the ocean of pus, urine, and stool, as described in this section. In chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Shuchi nam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. Because of one's previous connection with bhakti yoga, someone is born into a prestigious family of brahmanas or aristocrats. And having taken such a birth, one should thus utilize it to perfect oneself through bhakti yoga. However, due to bad association, one forgets that one's prestigious position has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yajnas like Kali Puja or Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. How such a person is punished was described in this section. The word Dambha Yagyishu is significant. If one violates the Vedic instructions while performing yajna and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, one is punishable after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that has supposedly been offered in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. The Shastras enjoin that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once in a month, but nowhere is it said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. So those who do so receive punishments which were described in this chapter. The practice of forcing one's wife to drink one's own semen is a black art practiced by extremely lusty persons. Those who practice this very abominable activity say that if a wife is forced to drink her husband's semen, she remains very faithful to him. Generally, only low-class men engage in this black art. But if a man born in a higher class does so, then after death, one is put into the hell known as Lala Bhaksha. There, one is immersed in the river known as Shukra Nadi, and forced to drink semen himself. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in this age of Kali, everyone will be extremely disturbed by three kinds of tribulations: scarcity of rain, famine and heavy taxation by the government. And because human beings are becoming more and more sinful, there will be a scarcity of rain, and naturally no food grains will be produced. And on the plea of relieving the suffering caused by the ensuing famine, the government will impose heavy taxes, especially on the wealthy mercantile community. The members of such a government are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as dasyu, thieves. Their main activity will be to plunder the wealth of the people. Whether a highway robber or a government thief, such a person will be punished in the next life by being thrown into the hell known as Sarame Yadana, where one will suffer greatly from the bites of ferocious dogs. One should not be a Brahmana in name only and engage in all kinds of sinful activities, especially drinking liquor. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas must behave according to the principles of their order. And if they fall down to the level of Shudras, who are accustomed to drinking liquor, they will be punished, as was described in this chapter. Also, one should not become falsely proud. One must be respectful towards persons more elevated than one by either birth, education, behavior, caste, what to speak of spiritual order. And if one does not show respect to such highly elevated persons, but indulges in false pride, one will receive punishment in the hell known as Sharakardama. According to Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that one forgets that one has come to the home of one's enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If one is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes, for one who does so will be put into the hell known as Paryavartana after death, and there many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, and cockneys will suddenly come down upon one and pluck out one's eyes. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, one certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation in modern civilization. But according to Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. The Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. And if the Shudra gets money, he will spend it lavishly, however, without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no good purpose. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, almost everyone is Shudra. Kalao Shudra Sambhavaha. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. The Shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Therefore, everyone should use one's money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but instead accumulates more than necessary then one will certainly become proud of the money one illegally possesses. Money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita,
Bhoktaram yavya tapasang sarvaloka maheshwaram. I, Krishna, am the true enjoyer of all sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner, the proprietor of all the planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna, and one who possesses more money than one actually needs should spend it for Krishna. For unless one does so, one will become puffed up because of one's false possessions, and therefore one will be punished in the next life, as was described herein.
Tatha dehantara praptihi. Krishna's initial instructions in the Bhagavad Gita states that within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha. Those in the mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Adho gacchanti tamasa. And similarly, those too engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. So in Bhagavad Gita it is stated that even one who is very pious must return to earth after one's enjoyment in the higher planetary systems is over. Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problems of life. The problems of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept another material body. And this can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious. Just as Krishna himself says in chapter 4 of the Gita, Jadma karma chame divyam evang yo veti tatvatah chakba dehang punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take one's birth again in this material world, but instead attains my eternal abode, my dear Arjuna. This is the perfection of life and the real solution to all of life's problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of this material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. This very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. One should be neither pious nor impious. Instead, one should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Why, even a child can perform it. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mang namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare. Thus, One should become Krishna's devotee, worship Krishna, and offer obeisances to Krishna. One should engage all the activities of one's life in the service of Lord Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man, just to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, one is simply only wasting one's time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, for that will help save one from material conditional life and gradually elevate him or her to the path of liberation, so that one may go back home, back to Godhead. Lord Rishabhadev says in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, then one should associate with Mahatmas, or liberated devotees, because in such association there is a full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described nicely in Srimad Bhagavatam. However, on the path of bondage, one eternally undergoes the repetition of birth and death. So one who desires liberation from such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees, as well as to explain it, just to propagate Krishna consciousness. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, chapter 26 of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Hellish Planets. Supplementary note written by His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada in his Gaudiya Bhashya. Learned scholars who have full knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures agree that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are innumerable. These incarnations are classified into two divisions known as Prabhava and Vaibhava. Prabhava incarnations are also classified in two divisions, those which are called eternal and those which are not vividly described. In this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapters 3 through 6, there was the description of Rishabhadev, but there is not an expanded description of his spiritual activities. Therefore, Rishabhadev is considered to belong to the second group of Prabhava incarnations. In the first canto, chapter 3, it was stated, Lord Vishnu appeared in the eighth incarnation as the son of Maharaj Nabi and his wife Meru Devi. He showed the path of perfection, the Paramahamsa stage of life, which is worshipped by all the followers of Varnashram Dharma. Rishabhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his body is spiritual, Sachid Ananda Vigraha. Therefore, one might ask how it was possible that he passed stool and urine. The Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya, Baladev Vidyabhushana, has replied to this question in his book known as Siddhanta Ratna. Imperfect men call attention to Rishabhdev's passing stool and urine as a subject matter for the study of non-devotees who do not understand the spiritual position of a transcendental body. In the fifth canto, the illusioned and bewildered state of the materialists of this age was fully described. Elsewhere in the fifth canto, Rishabhadev himself stated that his body was inconceivable for materialists. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mang mudha manushing tanum ashritam parang bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. And so the human form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely difficult to understand, and in fact, for the common man, it is inconceivable. Therefore, Rishabhadev has directly explained that his own body belongs to the spiritual platform. This being so, Rishabhadev did not actually pass stool and urine, even though superficially he did seem to pass stool and urine. But that was also transcendental and cannot be imitated by any common man. And it is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the stool and urine of Rishabhadev was full of transcendental fragrance. One may try to imitate Rishabhadev, but he cannot imitate him by passing stool which is fragrant. The activities of Rishabhadev, therefore, do not support the claims of a certain class of men known as Arhat, who sometimes advertise that they are followers of Rishabhadev. So, how can they be followers of Rishabhadev while they act against Vedic principles? Shukadeva Goswami has related that after hearing about the characteristics of Lord Rishabhadev, the king of Konka, Venka and Kutaka initiated a system of religious principles known as Arhat. But these principles are not in accord with Vedic principles, and therefore they are called Pashanda Dharma. The members of the Arhat community consider Rishabhadev's activities material. However, Rishabhadev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Rishabhadev is on the transcendental platform, and no one can compare to him. Lord Rishabhadev personally exhibited the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as was stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. At the conclusion of Rishabhadev's pastimes, an entire forest and the Lord's body were burned to ashes in a great forest fire. And so in the same way, Rishabhadev burned the people's ignorance to ashes. Lord Rishabhadev exhibited the characteristics of a Paramahansa in his instructions to his 100 sons headed by Bharat. But the principles of the Arhat community, however, do not correspond to the actual teachings of Rishabhadev. Finally, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana remarks that in the eighth canto, there is another description of Rishabhadev, but that Rishabhadev is different from the one described in this fifth canto. End of Canto 5.